NHL insider Matt Stajan on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Following a 3-0 win in Toronto last night, welcome back to the program. We say hello to our Sportsnet Flames analyst who joins us every Tuesday at this time. Matt Stajan's with us. Hello, Matty.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good.
What'd you think of last night?
It was nice for the guys to get a win. That's for sure. They needed it. So, I think, it's a good rallying game for them. And, I just think things have been going not great the last week, but it's nice that they got the 2 points.
Well, how big is that to kind of cool the temperature or lower the volume in this city? And I know they're not even here right now, but to kind of cool that narrative even temporarily, like it was not good, and people were absolutely shredding this team heading into yesterday. How big was it just to kind of pause that even for a little bit?
Yeah, I think it's nice for them just because you do feel it in the dressing room just based on the questions you get in the media. You know yourself that the team's struggling, that things aren't going well. And then the outside noise is there. There's no denying that. So getting the win yesterday in Toronto, and that's the thing about this year, you're in Canada all the time, so you're never getting away from it. You're never going to, in L.A. or Florida on a road trip where you can totally get away from things. You're in it. And so getting that win's huge just to relieve the pressure that has been on them to turn this around and just to turn this thing around within, get that confidence back, that swagger that, we can go on a run here and put ourselves back in a position to get to where we want to go.
They're like, you always hear from players or coaches or general managers that you don't hear it, you don't read it, we don't hear that stuff, but you do, right? Like, especially in this day and age, I don't know, is it even possible to completely block it out in this day and age?
It's impossible. You're in the dressing room, you're doing media, you have Will Knoll asking you these tough questions. Like there's no way to just hide completely from it. Right. So, I think honestly, as a player, you do have to focus on what's on hand, be better. That you're not playing well as a team. You're not playing well individually. Guys have to get out of their funks and just focus on that. And at the same time, you don't want to dwell on what's being talked about. That's where players really struggle. And it's something to overcome mentally as a player is when you can just kind of find your niche. When things are going good, you stay in your zone. And when things are going down, you stay in your zone. You'll have so much more success because it's not going to always be rosy as a player or as a team. And if you start going down the rabbit hole and reading stuff, going on social media, reading the negativity, reading these articles, it can spiral really quickly, and that's tough to get out of your head. So mentally, you just got to focus on what you can control, and that's go out the next game and put it all out there, and that's what they did last night. They got the job done. Riddick played great, and for them, they just focus on the next game. Everything, all the noise, it's out there, but it's that attitude and mentality, us versus everybody, and that's all that matters, and we're the only ones that are going to fix this, and everything else is out of our control.
Well, it's funny, Matt, because in your first few years here, you've talked about this before. You were a guy that was much maligned and a guy that was very much criticized in your first couple of years here. And I always remember you always came out and you did media, and didn't matter who you were talking to, you were the same with everybody, which I always appreciated, but that couldn't have been easy. Like you knew some of the things that were being said, and you knew that the criticism was out there. How difficult is that even individually to kind of, I don't want to use the term face that music, but you know what I'm trying to say? How difficult is that on a daily basis?
Yeah, it's hard. The mental side, it's really hard. I'm sure if you ask my wife, there were some nights, some days where I was probably not fun to be around because, that's just the way it is. I feel like you can go down a rabbit hole mentally, and you just got to stop yourself and find that, the fine line. If I woke up every morning in 2011 and you know, listen to the radio shows and all the negativity, I'd drive myself crazy. You just don't do that. It's not good for you. It's talking to the people you trust, finding, people around you that, you know, and your teammates are always there for you. They're a good outlet. There's coaches and, you know, there's different outlets that you have to find and lean on at times like that. For me, my wife is probably the most important and just kind of, you know, look at the positives and, cause it's just a waste of time to go down that path and try and defend yourself as to why things aren't going well and go down that path, because at the end of the day, you're in the situation you're in. You know, you're not going to change what's happening. You're not going to change the viewpoint that people have on what's happened. All you can do is go about your next game and, you know, the future and try and change people's minds, you know, by the way you play. So that's kind of what I did, I think that nowadays, you know, teams have coaches to do, you know, you have mental health coaches, to help with your confidence, like that's there for the guys. When I first came in, it wasn't really there. So that's helpful. But as a team, you just got to lean on each other and that'll get you out of tough times.
Matty, speaking of trying to kind of get out of it and maybe change or turn the tide, the Flames score first time in six games, just the seventh time all year. We talk about their starts all the time. Just kind of that first goal and being able to stay on top of it and play as well as they did in the first period, that's a huge, huge momentum and kind of confidence booster in a lot of ways.
Yeah, you said it. That first goal is so important, especially when you haven't scored it in what was it, five, six games, or it might even been more. So definitely in that dressing room, their whole conversation and game plan, you know, when you're talking with the guys, let's get that first goal and rally from that. And when you get that, it's like a weight lifted off your shoulders. And they played that way. They had urgency even after they got that first one. They just had that urgency. They had more want than the Leafs had yesterday. And ultimately that's why they won the game. And David Rick had an outstanding game and their special teams, but it all kind of one leads into the other. And if you can score that first goal, just look at the stats throughout the league. The team that scores the first goal, your odds of winning that game go way up. And I know we talk a lot about the Flames' ability to come back in games and their record. You know, it's probably one of the best in the league when they are down by two, but it's still, they lose more than they win. So you really have to, you know, have that mindset and go after it. And that's why that's the lack of starts that they've had this year, that, you know, coming out of the gate so poorly has been, you know, it's been a problem because you want to get that first goal.
Absolutely. Matt Stajan is our guest. He joins us every single Tuesday at this time, talk all things Flames and the NHL. You mentioned it a little bit earlier on with Patty in terms of the performance from David Rittich. What did you think of him last night? And talk about building blocks for a lot of different people on this team. And we don't know what Markstrom's status is or how long he's going to be out. But if you're Rittich, that's a good confidence boost. And he was pretty good Friday, too, against the Oilers in that 2-1 loss.
Yeah, he's been good the last few games, and it's huge for him. He's a guy too, and most players in the NHL, you know, have, you know, when they're confident, you know, they play well. And guys go, you know, everybody goes through streaks. No one's consistent, you know, every game. You know, some guys' ups are really high and their downs are really low, so it's more noticeable. But everybody has up games and down games, and for Rittich, it's been a lot on him mentally. And we were just talking about that, and for him just to focus on the task at hand and kind of regroup this last week, he's been big for the Flames, and they need that because Markstrom was playing, you know, way too much hockey and you know, was carrying the load. So this is nice for the goaltending tandem and for the team, because if you have confidence in your goalies, it goes a long way to your team, as we've seen this year with the record they have, despite the problems they've had at 5-on-5 or as a team.
I guess now looking forward to Wednesday, I don't want to harp on the refereeing. We don't really, you know, criticize here on the show too often, and I don't even think the refereeing was bad last night, but you can't hand the power or the least power play seven opportunities again tomorrow, can you?
No, you know, but it's both ways. You know, the Flames power play is clicking, so I'm sure the Leafs have the same mindset. I'm trying to watch these games very evenly, like, you know, not rooting interest for either side. You know, because when I was a player, you always thought you got screwed with the calls. That's the way it is. So as Flames fans, it's natural to think we get, you know, screwed with calls and you know, reffing's so tough to do. But they go both ways. Matthew Tkachuk, you know, creates a lot of penalties. He knows how to sell them. You know, there's a lot of guys that are really good at it. So, you know, it's just one of those things as a team. You got to know the limit. You know, the refs are looking to call penalties in the NHL. They want offense. So, you get a stick in someone's hands, you know, it's gonna cost you. And Flames were lucky to get away yesterday with killing seven penalties off. Because on most nights against that Toronto Maple Leaf team, or if you're playing Edmonton, as we saw Saturday, they're going to score 2-3 goals on the power play alone. So that's definitely something they got to clean up.
How, when you're watching specifically Toronto Calgary games, do you find yourself like, do you have issues?
He's wearing the split jersey, Pat.
Yeah, do you do one of those things where you wear
the logos are split
right down the middle? Is that how you do it?
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? I just reminisce. I'm like, oh, I used to wear both those jerseys, but you know what? It's fun to watch. I hope both organizations have success. I was a part of them, and I just know the fan base and both have been through a lot the last 20-30 years. So. I can't say I sit here and cheer for one team. I cheer for individuals more so. So I know a lot more guys on the Flames these days, and but they're fun to watch because for myself and my family, it does bring back a ton of memories.
Did you, like, were you ever under the microscope in a bad way in Toronto? Was that ever, like, did you ever go through times where media and fans were dogging on you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Even for sure. It may be, like, a little bit more leeway because, our team wasn't very good. Once Sundin and you know, that crew of guys, our core got split up in like 07, 08, I kind of was forced into a role where I had to take a lead and a leadership role. We were a young team and, you'd face the music every day. We didn't have a captain. And, so when you don't score one or two games. Like, look at Nylander and Tavares. They're going through a ton of media scrutiny there.
For sure.
Even though they're winning games, and that's all that matters as a player, especially when you get older, you realize all that matters when you win. But there's still that personal element where you want to contribute to your team. You know, you got to play well, especially if you're a guy making $10 million. You got to play well so there's that pressure. But if the team's winning and you're not playing well, and then you're still hearing about it and you're the captain of the team, that's a tough situation. I've been in it. I've seen guys go through it there. And, it makes you stronger once you get through it. But it's ruthless for sure. And to say the least, I know, here in Calgary, just listening a little bit the last week, the Flames have been going through the exact same thing here, with the core group and what people are saying about them. So it's everywhere in Canada. It's hard to get away.
Okay, but compare it. Like, and I know Calgary's a great hockey market and Flames fans are passionate and all that type of stuff. And you have made your post-hockey home here in this city. But compare it. When things are hot in Toronto and when things are hot in Calgary, how different is it?
It's really different. I have to say, so me starting in Toronto, I think that was a good thing, just because I saw the scrutiny, at the very top. Things are getting dissected, every play is getting dissected. And I know that we do that here and people do that here, but there it's on another level. There's way more media outlets, more people picking up on different things, different newspapers and big name media types that are in there just looking for negative stories. That's just what people read. So I don't know what a good way to compare it is. There's just double the radio stations. There's, triple the newspapers. Yep. It's just all that. One thing I will say is you can get away from it a bit in Toronto publicly. Right now it doesn't matter, but like when things are normal, you could find a restaurant. It's such a big city where you can find your spots where you can get away from, from fans and where in Calgary, it's more of a small town feel. The city's kind of closer in that sense. But the media stuff, it's not close. I really felt when I came to Calgary, like I could breathe a little bit. And it was a lot easier to deal with for sure. Even when things didn't go well, when I was first came in.
So do you, like when you just, if you're personally under the microscope or people are ripping you on the radio or in the papers or whatever, like, do you take notes of that? Do you say, okay, I found out what this guy said about me, and I'm just going to curious to see if he's got the balls to face me in the locker room. Like, do you guys take note of that stuff?
I'm sure some guys do, just based on, you know, and you hear guys calling out certain reporters, because you do hear it. But I never really looked at it that way. I rarely listened to the radio when I was playing, the sports radio. I made sure I, you know, didn't do that because I knew it wasn't good for my mental side, and, you know, nothing good was coming of it. You know, and social media has brought even a different aspect. So I've always tried to, you know, steer clear, especially when I was playing, of that. You check, you still see stuff, but, you know, on a lesser scale. But in Toronto, when someone says something, you know, then another media outlet will pick up on it and then question you about it. So then you hear things that way, and it's hard to get away from. So, yeah, it's just having that balance, and making sure that you get what you need. But I've always tried to respect the job that the media had to do. And now being in the media, you see it from the other side. But everybody's just trying to do their job. You know, everybody loves hockey and their sport, but you have to have respect for what people are doing. Yeah, there's right ways and wrong ways to go about things, and there's some ruthless reporters for sure. But you know what? That's the business you're in. You're in the NHL. You're getting paid a ton of money to do it. If you have to face the music and deal with that, I just always said that's part of what we do. And we're lucky that people care this much about us that you know, make this thing go around. So that was my approach. So I never really called out anybody. I'd make maybe some smart-ass remarks to people like I have here to Pinder and Francis. But, you know, that's just all in good fun.
I like how it's those two guys. It's well, especially because they went head-to-head on an issue yesterday morning when they were on together. It's funny because, first of all, that's how I've always reconciled it in my head, because I'm a pretty conflict-averse person. I don't enjoy conflict. I try to avoid it. So, you know, doing this job and crushing another human being on the air and then, you know, potentially having to see them in the locker room, I was like, hey, I don't love that. I know it's the first thing that Rob Kerr taught me was, like, if you're going to criticize, if you're going to carve, you better be there. Likely nobody's going to say anything, but you better be there to make yourself available. And that's something that I've prided myself on. But at the same time, like, it certainly produces a great deal of anxiety. And the one thing that I've always the way I've reconciled it is, well, okay, these guys are making seven figures to play. It kind of goes with the territory. Is that how a lot of guys approach it? Like, okay, you know, it sucks. We don't like hearing this stuff, but also I'm getting paid handsomely to play a sport.
Yeah, most guys handle it that way, but I'd say there's still, you know, quite a few that you know, that just don't deal with it well. And, you know, they wouldn't give, if someone says something bad about someone, you know, they're not giving that guy the time of day. It's just the human element, right? You see, you meet different people in life. Everybody has different personalities. You know, so it's the exact same thing. And I honestly, I like to bug Pinder and Francis, but those guys are so opinionated, and that's what makes them, you know, good at what they do. You know, you have to respect that, and they're not shy to, you know, to hurt people's feelings. But as a player, yeah, those guys, they sometimes say things that you're like, is that guy for real? Like, what do they know? And that's just the human element. And you can debate things all day. That's the fascinating part and the beauty of sports talk radio, right? And you know, with being in a dressing room, it's not like we have the radio blaring or we hear this stuff. It's, you know, guys just have fun with it. Like anything, you chirp guys, and it's no different. When I first came in the league, there were newspapers in the locker room in Toronto. I remember I came in, I'm like, there's newspapers in the locker room? That's kind of, didn't think that. And a year later, they weren't in anymore. So I caught the tail end of that, but the newspapers were more used for crossword puzzles, I think, than, you know, to kill time than reading articles, but they were there. The game notes were there at times. And nowadays you won't see that even close to a dressing room. It's just not something that's needed, because it doesn't help, right? It wouldn't help your team and what you're trying to accomplish.
Well, you are because when you first got traded here, I was in like year one or two of covering this team full time. I was so you were really the first player that I actually went after on the air and like that I criticized and I remember you actually helped me out a little bit because you know. I would be in the locker room and you would answer all my questions and never said a thing, never clocked me, nothing like that. It was actually like, okay, you can do this, make yourself available, but they all understand this is part, criticism goes along with it. So I always tell people that like, you know, first of all, you turned the narrative very, very nicely. And second of all, like you were always a pro about it and most guys are pros about it.
And you should be like, there's no other way to go about it. There's no, like, what's the point of approaching it any other way? I knew I wasn't playing up to expectations when I first got here. You know, and I could go on a rant on why I thought that didn't go right. I could, you know, make excuses, but hey, I went through it, made me better as a person, as a player. I felt I overcame a lot. And here I am doing a talk radio show with you. I haven't even thought twice of it. I think that's why you guys are on the radio talking about hockey. And as a hockey player, you guys feel pretty special when people are talking about your profession, you know, and you got to take the good with the bad.
Very cool. Just one final thought. Over the weekend was the 10-year anniversary of the Heritage Classic at McMahon Stadium. That was early in your tenure as a member of the team. Take us back to your memories of 2010. 2011,
yeah, it was special. Yeah, it was awesome. It was, I know it was a cold day and windy, and all of our family and friends that we flew in for the game, they put them at the made up stand, so they got the full effect of the wind chill that day. But as players, you know, it was awesome. It was quite the memory, and I remember the intermissions were longer. They couldn't flood the ice with the Zamboni because it was too cold. I think they had to use hoses, old-fashioned way. The ice was not good at all, but we won in shutout fashion. It was a 3-0, I think.
4-0.
4-0, and it was great. I'm glad I got to play in one of those, because once I left Toronto, they played in about 3 or 4 quickly after that, so I was pretty happy we got to squeak one in here in Calgary while I was playing. But that was a memory for sure.
I think the Habs are still whining about the ice surface. It's like, you know, both teams played on it, right? Like, it wasn't just you that had the bad conditions. That was all the narrative. Like, oh, the ice is so bad and not fair. But both teams played on the same ice.
And ice conditions in the NHL, they're good for the most part, but there's some nights where the ice is bad. And exactly, both teams play on it. If the team that lost wants to complain about the ice every night,
probably bigger problems.
Montreal Canadiens.
Good stuff, Stage. On the one hand, really, really good stuff and eye-opening stuff. On the other, you may have just empowered Pinder to be even more cutting. So you did good and bad today.
Yeah, I'm probably only a quarter. You know, we'll split the team up into quarters how they approach the stuff, though. So
yeah, that's
good.
Thanks, Stage. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, see you guys.